Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard. While we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub. Play and sing along.
Good morning, everybody. This is Alessandra, your host of Growing Good. I'm here with my co-host, Baby Wallace Rainbow. We are airing once again out of Roberta's on Heritage Radio Network. I have such an amazing guest with me today. Her name is Cammie Delevingne, and we have known each other. I mean, I haven't seen her in years, but we met something like 1999, 2000. Cammie is the co-writer of the Oscar-nominated movie Blue Valentine, which is so awesome, and I'm sure all of you guys know what I'm talking about. So basically, I knew Cammie when we were working at the IFP, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. That's the Independent Film Project for all of you independent, illiterate film people. Mm-hmm. And I was like working for an events coordinator there, and Cammie was kind of just doing everything and running the show. And at the time, she was finishing her Columbia degree, right?
I didn't actually finish it.
Okay. She just like jumped right to mainstream Hollywood. But
I went and I left. And I think I met you first, and then I went to Columbia for a year, and then right. I came back and I came back and we
regardless
worked
the
Karen
whole time
Dalzell.
She was yeah. writing shorts and filming them, and even though we were working for this company and involved in all around other things, I remember Darren Aronofsky was like the big thing that year. Yeah. I don't know why I remember that, but she was always writing shorts and part of her own film world. And basically during my pregnancy, I found out, I opened up a magazine, I think it was Vogue, and I found out that a movie that we had all read the script of back in the day, Blue Valentine, was being made. And then shortly after I had Wally, I went to Dallas and caught the movie. So I walk up to the movie theater, and lo and behold, there's like a big poster, and it says written by Cammie Delevingne and Derek Sanfrance, the director. And I was so excited that I had to get in touch with Cammie on Facebook. And when I did, I noticed that she had just given birth too. Can you introduce your child to us?
Charlie. Charlie's a girl.
Charlie's a girl. How old is Charlie?
Charlie's going to be 2 in November.
That's so amazing. So right away, my light bulb came off, and I was like, what? Like, Cammie, I just put the dates together, and it was very obvious that all of this exciting career happening, shift happened during her pregnancy and being a new mommy. And that's what we're going to talk today about on Growing Good with Cammie. She's going to let us know about writing, managing a successful career, while being a new mom. I'm going to take care of Wally, but she's going to take over for a second. So the first amazing thing I want to talk about is that Cammie went to Sundance Film Festival for Blue Valentine with a 5-week-old baby.
2 months. Just about 2 months.
8 weeks. Tell us a little bit about that.
I guess I'll start off by saying that, Sundance, as amazing as it is probably the least kid-friendly place in the entire world.
I know, and you were telling me that.
It's not.
So no baby-changing stations?
No baby-changing stations. I was like,
we got to write letters.
I know. I was like changing Charlie on like toilet seats. And like trying to figure like put a blanket down in a sink, and she'd be like scooped down in there. And I was trying to.
This is a 2-month-old baby. Mm-hmm. You parents, you know what I'm talking about. I did not leave the house till Wally was 3 months. Then it was on. But I mean, that's amazing. So,
it was
nuts.
What
happened?
Let's see. Well, we were only there for I'd say 36 hours, and it was like 36 of the longest hours of my life. We stayed with the director and his family. They had a condo.
Yeah.
So we stayed there. I pulled up. She was like, I mean, anybody who has a mom knows that, like, they're 2 months old, and in retrospect, you're like, oh my God, they're 2 months old. I could do anything, but you're so freaked out as a new mom that there's nothing casual about it. She was awesome on the plane. And right when we landed, I looked, and like she was wearing this like cute white little onesie, and I looked, and the entire side of it was green with poop. Everything had just like exploded. So we get off of the plane.
You're like, I'm here. Love me.
And it was like, she was like half baby, half poop. And, I changed her, and then we took like a car, like, the airport is an hour away, I think, from Salt Lake. So we took this car service with a bunch of people, and she just went bananas. And it was like the first time that she'd ever really gone bananas. Right. For like most new moms, there's this like 6 week peak that a lot of people talk about. And she had kind of gone through that, but then it was like this 2 month peak or something like that. She went bananas, and that was the most bananas that she went. So I like heavily tipped the driver. And then it kind of like started to run a little smooth. Like we kind of walked around. And
was it cold?
It's not cold. Like,
were there other babies?
Oh no.
Because there's so many kids. When she told me this, you know, we had a little pre-interview over the phone. I was like, that's so weird because there's so many kids in independent films, you know, especially the good ones that it just surprised me. Cause you would think that a lot of these kids have probably baby siblings and whatnot, and I just figured it was baby heaven, you know.
Oh no, and no. And
how was that for you, Cammy? So I mean, the baby did it, but I mean, like, for you, what did you feel like, self-conscious about having the baby there and all this stuff happening with you?
No, I mean, I had some really good moments. Like, I had gone to Colombia, and I have a really good friend, producer named Alexis Fish, and she was there with her girlfriend, and all of a sudden I get this this call, and she's like, come down to this like bar right now. It's the Colombia party. They're introducing Colombia grads who had films in the festival. She's That's like, get over here right now. And I show up, and I had Charlie and my little like baby Bjorn. Mm-hmm. She was like dead asleep. And that's one of the things that was kind of cool about it, is that everywhere we went, was there was so much noise going on that it's that kind of
white
like
noise.
Yeah. So like she was just passed out most of the time. And I showed up at the Columbia party. And, you know, obviously didn't, like, include the fact that I dropped out of Columbia. But, like, I was called up on the stage and, like, and introduced. And Alexis was good enough to kind of, like, I'm terrible at, like, going up to people and being like, hello. Like, so she was introducing me around. And we actually had a really good time.
That's so great.
That was great.
So, of course, at this film festival, you came home with good news that the movie had been picked up.
Yeah, that happened. That didn't happen, I think, at Sundance. I think it happened just a little bit later. But Weinstein company picked it up. So that was
so
great.
But I mean, that's just so amazing, so overwhelming. And talking more about Cammy personally, so you also had this really cute story that I'd love to share with my audience about your second trimester starting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. so I had a little bit of a rough first trimester. And so I was kind of freaked out in the first trimester, but it was the my 3 month appointment, and I went and I got the ultrasound and got a little picture.
Yeah,
and it's so cute because
your first picture,
good one. And they also at 3 months they had just told me that it was a boy, that I was having a boy.
Oh my gosh, I've heard about this.
I know, but because they can't really tell until
I could 5 months. With Wally, they showed me his penis, and it was like the nurse was embarrassed.
Wally.
So they tell you there was a boy. That's another crazy story.
They told
me
it was a boy, and I got a picture, and I was really psyched. And I was at St. Vincent's, that's no longer there, and I lived in Williamsburg at the time. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to walk home. I take it all in. I got a little picture. I'm really psyched. And I was walking through the East Village, and I used to work at a bar on 7th Street. And so I usually avoid that street because it's like memories of when I was working at a bar. I was like a bartender, and I was like a sober bartender. And I was a terrible bartender. Terrible. One thing I, when I was a bartender, I didn't, it's been so long since I drank that I didn't realize, I mean, I was a good bartender because I would pour people these insanely huge drinks.
You didn't realize.
And I was like, I don't know. Like, is this how, and I actually, one time I had somebody, I poured him like a Jack Daniels or something like that. And he looked at me and he said, bless you. And I had no idea what he was talking about. So I kind of avoided that street, but I like turned on that street randomly. I was like, it was a conscious thing. I was like, I'm just going to walk down the street. I'll just pass by the bar. And I look over and there's like Ryan Gosling wearing a moving company t-shirt with a pack of cigarettes rolled up in the sleeve. And I walked up to him and I was like, hi, I'm Cammy. I wrote the movie that you're acting in right now. And he gave me
what
a big
amazing
hug.
Second trimester present.
I know.
That sounds so awesome.
And he's probably the single most charming person.
Of
I've
course.
Ever.
But that's his job.
It is his job. He has that rare quality of making you feel like you're the only person.
Yeah. Oh, cool. That's the, now he does that to the whole world.
Yeah.
That's why he's good at what he does.
I know.
But that's amazing.
And that was the first day of shooting Blue Valentine.
Yep. And so first day of second trimester, we all know how we pray to get to that moment and just to have a healthy pregnancy. And for Cammy, it coincided with, you know, the huge success of her, also her, you know, first notarized film. But she has written so many other films, which we're going to be talking about the second segment. And we're going to be talking to her about how she managed this, you know, epic thing and how she's continuing her efforts in writing while being a new mother. And I'm so glad to be doing this segment because last week we did a segment on working with baby, with women that are running businesses and taking their babies to work every day, you know, which is sounds like a dream come true. But, you know, the best thing that you can do for your kids is do what you do. And so I'm glad to be following up that segment with this segment. And Cammy's going to be telling us about her schedule, how she does the writing and the daycare, everything at the same time. Before we break for our second segment, though, one amazing thing that happened through this is your manager, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about that relationship.
I met my manager, Danny Halstead. He's was a producer for years. He still kind of produces, but he's like the single... He's except for like my husband and my daughter, he's like the best thing in my life.
And he signed you with a newborn.
Uh-huh.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Kudos to what's his name?
Danny Halstead.
Danny Halstead, you're awesome because you sign newborn baby mamas yes. writers to change the world.
Yeah.
No, because it's true. I mean, it's like a lot of people, you know, think that they have to stop and you don't. You just keep going. I mean, Cammy's been writing and making her own movies at this point for almost 12 years that I know. I mean, you might have even started earlier than that when you were a kid, no? Mm-hmm. And then poof, you know, pregnancy, baby, career, bam.
Yeah.
So, and you love your manager and he's good to you. He stands
so
up for you.
So good to me, yeah.
And he understands your mommy schedule.
He does. He does. I mean, and that being said, he's also it doesn't let me use it as an excuse. He's like,
you gotta
keep bringing in your A game, like, and lets me know, like, if you can't do it right now, like, don't take the job. And of course, I'm never gonna say like I can't do it. You know, he knows how to push me just enough and make sure that I'm still doing good work. But then on the flip side, like when he needs to, he has my back.
That sounds really, really awesome because, you know, and obviously he knows he can't be calling you at like 3 o'clock in the morning because you need your sleep.
No.
Yeah. All right. We're going to have more of Cammy Delevingne, writer of Blue Valentine. We're going to be talking about what she's working on now and some of the other things. This is Patsy Cline, y'all.
I'm back in baby's arms. How I miss those loving arms. I'm back. Since we found out how
Welcome back to Growing Good. And my lovely, beautiful, tall-legged guest, Cami Delevingne. She is the co-writer of the Oscar-nominated indie flick movie Blue Valentine. We just spent some time talking about, you know, her going to Sundance Film Festival, the movie being made, and her manager, you know, keeping her on track with a newborn. And so we covered all that. Now we're going to be talking about what she's done since then. Always with newborns. So when we had a little pre-interview, we were talking about your writing schedule. Tell us how about Charlie's schedule and your personal writing schedule.
I mean, one of the things that I did kind of early on is really try and get Charlie on a sort of a sleeping schedule so that, because I knew that she was going to have other people looking out for her. So the more information that I could give her caregivers, like the easier, it's like if I give Charlie to somebody and I get her back and they're like, she slept from this time to this time and she ate this amount, then I know where I'm at. So,
sure.
So I tried to
control that aspect.
Yeah, I was really on the whole sleep thing. And as a
sure.
result, I mean, I hate being one of these braggy moms, but she's a good sleeper now.
It's one of my favorite
years.
Books, people, is the Sleeping Habits, Happy Baby. That's like one of the greatest books ever. So, I mean, that's a great tool for you working mothers out there to stay connected to your daughter's schedule and coincide with yours. That's great. So you would tell them what you wanted them to do.
In fact, that was the one of the EPs of Blue Valentine. Jack Lechner gave me that book for when Charlie was born. And
Save me.
Yeah.
I got a good sleeper too, though, so we're lucky.
It's taken a while.
While he was sleeping through the nights at 8 weeks old, and I'd have to wake him up to nurse him because he'd sleep through
incredible.
It. I know. He's the yin to my yang.
Yeah.
So back to the caretakers. So you try to control that aspect so that you can write and in peace.
So then and it started off in like smaller segments. I'd say like I did get a job right after Sundance. And so I found that I could, you know, it would be start off at like 3 hours or 2 hours or 4 hours, but it would be the hours that I knew that she was at her best. And so I live in a wonderful building with Charlie's godfathers live downstairs.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then our
and
other
your daycare center.
And our other really good friends live upstairs. And then our daycare is, well, it's right next door.
Right next door. Awesome.
So I think very, very early on, I was able to find people who could kind of help me out. And then I also helped my husband's freelance. So like when he wasn't working, then he was there. But then I guess about a year, then she started going to daycare full time. And that's 10 to 4, Monday through Friday. And
always next door, though. So that's
right next door. So it's like it's like 9:59, and I'm like, okay, time to go to daycare, as opposed to like 9 o'clock, and I get in the car.
And what time does she get up usually? It varies. Yeah, Wally
6.
Too. Oh, wow. Okay, so basically you do mommy time 6 to 10.
That's I do mommy
a,
time 6
to
10. That's a
great slab there.
And then I do mom time
and then you write from 10 to 4 or whatever
10 to 4
and then interviews.
and then she goes to bed about 7:30, so 4 to 7:30 then we so I'm that's, I'm with her
great.
Like, you know, 7 to 8 hours a day,
yeah,
which is wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm psyched and then you know, when she goes to bed I'm done.
Yeah. I was gonna ask, like, how was it since, like, you know, you were just telling me too that your manager in the break, Cami was telling me that her manager, you know, kind of had to sit her down and be like, look, this is like your window of opportunity here. You know, you've got a lot going on, but like, you know, this is when you got to strike. So when she was just born and you were like breastfeeding, would you like just write before you were able to get onto the schedule that you just explained to us? Would you just like write randomly, like in the middle of the night when you're nursing, or no, you always try to have a schedule?
I always had this idea of a schedule, whether or not it fit or not. But I didn't. But I gave myself a couple of months, you know.
Yeah.
And it was the two
except
most...
Except for the time that you went to Sundance.
Except for Sundance. But it was like the two most wonderful months. I mean, God,
yeah.
I loved that. That was the most... I was so happy.
Yeah.
I mean, I am happy now.
Yeah, yeah.
But to have that moment of time where she was just on me the whole time.
Yeah, of course. And I've been feeling that way all week. Wally's just turning into a little boy, and I was, I got a little bit of the blues last week because I was like, you're not my baby anymore. But then, you know, he falls and he's my little baby.
Yeah.
He's right there.
Just wait for that first, that cold. And then
when he says, I love you to me, I'm just going to lose it. Then it's going to be like all over.
I know.
But so, okay. So Cammy was also telling me about some other accomplishments since then. She doesn't keep, you know, the baby, you know, from holding her writing back. And she actually, you know, got into a writer's lab that was kind of prestigious, and you submitted a film that you wrote, right?
Well, I do have a film. It's kind of going through different titles, but I think right now it's called Tar Pits.
Cool.
But it was Mammoth. I don't know. And it was Heterophobia. It's been a million titles. We haven't quite figured that out. But I have a bunch of these films that I've been doing over the past few years where I'm kind of adapting a real life. A person's life as a screenplay. Cool. So this is one of them, and it got into Film Independence Writers Lab this past year, and there, I think there was about 7 other scripts.
Right.
And it's really wonderful, these writers labs. One thing they do is you have to read other people's work and critique it, and then which I love doing. Actually,
yeah.
that's it's so easy to see other people's. Oh, here, I got something for you. Dude,
Wally,
you're psyched.
Bray.
Oh my gosh, you're so excited.
Wally,
1, 2, 3, 4.
We're gonna give Wally some keys.
Look, check it out.
Keys.
Light. What?
What? There's a light on her keychain.
That is
back
crazy.
To you, Cammy.
So it was great. And I did it remotely with the other people's scripts for a few weeks. And then I went out to LA not only for the lab, but then.
Oh, so you get the scripts beforehand. So
yeah,
by the time you all show up for the lab, it's on. Oh, cool.
And it was, they met twice a week, and it was great to be, you know, you're so isolated as a writer, so it was great to be with other writers and know that other people are kind of wrestling with the same demons that you're wrestling with. And that was wonderful. And Film Independent, it's been actually really good to me. They're the West Coast IFP.
Oh, cool.
So they do the, I don't know. They do. Yeah. What's the Gotham Awards are here. Spirit Awards.
Spirit Awards. Yeah. Right.
So they're over there. They're wonderful. They're great. They're
well,
great.
Well, talking more about the West Coast, Cammy's getting ready to go out there, and her family is so supportive. They're uprooting as well.
Right now we're just planning. We're taking baby steps. We subletted our place from. I shouldn't say that. Should I say that? My landlord's not listening. Friends are staying at our apartment, and we're paying the rent.
Guitar.
And friends are staying with our apartment for the winter, and then we're going to go out to LA and see. See what business we could drum up. It's at the end of the day, LA is where a lot of stuff is happening. It's where the business
right,
is.
Right, and
so.
Cammy, you were telling me your interest about moving into television, and we were talking about how, you know, I think that the television medium has reached such high levels.
Oh, yeah.
It's like totally kicking the film industry's butt. It really is. That's my personal opinion. Doesn't have to be yours.
No. I mean, as far as
and knowing you, I think you would be so amazing. You know, I always have known Cammy as a comedic writer. It's strange
can't
that the
you
movie
tell
that
Blue Valentine.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange that that's the movie that came out. Although, you know, I saw a lot of you in that female character as well. But you know, I just think that would be great. So basically, the plan is that Cammy, Daddy, and Baby are going to go to California for a couple of months and try to, you know, hit the coal mines.
Yeah.
Try to make a diamond.
Hustle. Make it happen.
That's so cool.
And I do have a TV pilot called Whip Smart that I'm going out there with.
You know, and you were telling me a little bit about this. Can we talk about the synopsis or is it a secret?
No.
It's a dominate teacher by day, dominatrix by night.
Kindergarten teacher.
Kindergarten teacher by day, dominatrix by night.
And it's just
which I'm sure you can, you know, totally put so much of yourself into because I feel like, you know, I'm like total baby, 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 not sexy. And then I'm just like, sexy.
Yeah. Well, and also I've through this script, I've had this opportunity to work and talk with these incredible female development executives.
Right.
And so it's what's been interesting about Whip Smart is that, you know, I kind of wrote it in this vacuum, and suddenly these women that are moms see it in a in a just a completely different light, and they started talking about like this thing that I wasn't quite realizing on in my conscious of the parallel between it's. I mean, it's ultimately a story about testing boundaries and what kids. Which I'm really excited to experience with our kids when they turn 5, is this like they're very sexualized, and so
the kids, you mean
kids? Oh. Yeah, I mean we're gonna find it out. There's like this obsession with like, I mean I used to babysit a lot.
No, I mean it's so amazing though that you can like put this all into your writing, and it just makes you observe the whole process like differently than I do, because you're like already like. Breaking down the kid characters.
Yes.
That's so yeah. cool.
And I'm discovering that I'm meeting these women who are able to bring stuff to the next level. Yeah. And they're able to talk about it in a way, because they've been doing it for years, in a way that just opens up everything to me. So I feel very lucky that I've been able to meet some development executives that I just like.
Well, it's lovely, but it's also hard work. I mean, a lot of people would throw in the towel, you know, or just, you know, it's a tough industry. And that's why I was so inspired to have Cammy on the show, because having known her, you know, I met you when I was 19, you know, and mm-hmm. now we're moms, and poof, like you're still doing it. And it's just so awesome. And, you know, it just goes to show, you know, that like, you know, having babies, being a mom, like doesn't mean, you know, that you have to stop keeping on.
No, it makes you a better mom if you're doing
stuff. Yeah, look at all the stuff you're doing it with your writing. That's so exciting. Yeah. So some advice for other writers out there. I know you told me something about a t-shirt you were maybe going to make and wear. This is coming from a real writer. So not mommy, just writer to writer.
Right. Writer to writer. I think the best advice for any writer, two things. Read scripts. Because
even crappy ones.
Even crappy ones. And it's different than watching a movie or watching television. You got to read the scripts. And then also, as much as you can, and I've kind of learned this the hard way, own your own material. And I sympathize. My biggest goal when Blue Valentine came out is that I would get paid up front before for everything that I wrote. And so I had lots of opportunities of people saying, well, why don't you just write it and then we'll sell it? And I was like, no way, I need the money up front. And then what I've learned kind of the hard way is that like then you don't own it. And so that if you can.
It's heartbreaking because it's like a relationship, these scripts, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And they're your babies. And then all of a sudden you're just sending your baby off to kindergarten and the baby's not looking back and saying hi. They're just like running away and you're like, oh. And so I would just kind of encourage like writers to definitely read scripts. And then if you can find, I have a supportive husband. Like I have a guy who's like investing in the University of Cammy, as he says, and like, and so he's like, he's sending me off to med school.
Well, he thinks that's funny too.
And so I'm really lucky. And some people have maybe parents that say, okay, we'll help with rent for 6 months while you get something out. And so, or some people have a flexible job, or some people have, you know, Blue Valentine was written with, I would wake up at 6 a.m. and go to a coffee shop and work until 1, and then. The director, he was, I think, on the dole for most of the time. Like, he was just collecting unemployment. So we would just have nothing but time. We didn't have kids. We didn't have families.
Right.
And so that was a very rare. Now everybody has lives. And so if you're a writer and you can do it, take the time, write your own material, own your own material, and make sure you go over it with a fine-tooth comb and make it. You know, do that, and third piece of advice: read your scripts out loud. They're going to be read out loud anyway.
Oh yeah, so, I remember, Kimmy. You used to set up like readings, anyways, when I knew you. Remember?
Yeah, and they're torturous. They're horrible. And then all of a sudden you're like, you know, you can't.
But you still recommend that?
But yeah.
Yeah, you got to hear it.
You got to hear it out loud, even if it's just you.
Well, thank you so much, Cammy.
Oh my God, this is great. It's so good to see you.
Oh, it's so good to see you. While he's in my arms right now, sucking on his bottle. It's just so inspiring, and I hope all of y'all's dreams come true out there. Love and light from me and baby Wally. And Cammy, we wish you all the best of luck in LA.
Thanks for
you. Don't forget about us.
Of course not.
Wally's working on his career. No, I'm just kidding. He's going to be a baller. So this is Growing Good. We'll see you guys next week, and we're going out with Loretta Lynn, another classic.
On a hill in Butcher Holler, we were poor, but we had love.
That's the one thing that daddy made sure of. He shoveled coal to make a poor man's dollar. My daddy worked all night in the Van Leer coal mine, all day long in a field of hoeing corn. Mommy rocked the baby that night and read the Bible by the coal oil light, and everything would start all over come break of morn. Daddy loved and raised their kids on a miner's pay. Mommy scrubbed our clothes on a washboard every day. Why, I've seen her fingers bleed. Who complained? There was no need. She'd smile in mommy's understanding.
As a part of National Food Day, St. John's Bread and Life, Brooklyn's innovative and life-saving food service program based in Bedford-Stuyvesant, is inviting Brooklyn chefs and purveyors to learn about how the organization is marrying the procurement of old-fashioned, locally grown organic produce with the latest technology to deliver healthy, cost-effective meals to those in need. St. John's Bread and Life, located at 795 Lexington Avenue, will hold an open house on Monday, October 24th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Visit www.foodday.org to sign up for the event. The Heritage Meat Shop has just opened in the Essex Street Market. Open from 9 to 7 Monday through Saturday and 10 to 6 on Sundays, the Heritage Meat Shop supports independent family farms and animal welfare approved and certified humane raising standards. Most importantly, they offer a wide variety of heritage breeds. So stop by, get a sandwich, try the charcuterie, the Heritage Meat Shop at the Essex Street Market.